Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're recapping the best games from last weekend. We're answering all the angry Ole Miss fans about why we dropped their team to number 10. And we're picking our mid-season conference champ predictions. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, welcome back to the podcast. We have a lot to get through with this podcast, but before we get to that, tell me how you're doing.
I'm doing well. Tired after my weekend mud run that I did, but rejuvenated from all the hate we've been getting from Ole Miss fans. You don't want to poke that beehive.
I feel really bummed about that because we had Ole Miss ranked number one at the end of the shortened season. And I thought we earned a lot of goodwill from that, but
they got short memories for sure.
Yeah, there are some angry Ole Miss fans at us on Twitter for dropping them all the way down to lowly number 10 in the country. But yeah, it's let's do that. Let's go through our top 50. So we released our top 50 on our website, collegebaseball.info. It's brought to you by Press Sports, the sports social media app that's for fans, coaches, players, and everybody. Definitely go check them out. We have a new number one. I think I've had a new number one almost every week by nature of us basically flip-flopping Vanderbilt and Arkansas back and forth. And this week it's Arkansas at number one. Their sixth week at number one. Vanderbilt is at number two, followed by number three, East Carolina. Number four, Mississippi State, and number five, Texas, rounding out the top five. Texas Tech comes in at six, Louisville at seven, Oklahoma State at eight, Tennessee at nine, and Ole Miss at 10. So, Kyle, let's start there with Ole Miss. Do you think 10 is too low for them, like a lot of people on Twitter think? I mean, we thought this out. This wasn't just like we randomly put them at number 10.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of similarities between the teams in the teams like from 6 to 10, but like the reason Ole Miss dropped is not necessarily so much of a punishment for Ole Miss losing the weekend series against a really good team. It was more that like Tech just beat TCU at home 2 out of 3. Louisville took down Florida State. Tennessee just beat Florida. So like these other teams are doing good things, and then Ole Miss has lost two weekend series in a row. I know there one was a road series at Florida, and then one was the number one team in the country against Arkansas at home, but they've lost, like I think you mentioned this before, they've lost 3 out of their 8 weekend series on the year, so it's not a good look. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Ole Miss is a good team. I don't think either of us disagree on that point. But there's only been 8 weekends so far, and Ole Miss has had 3 losing weekends, including to UCF, which I feel like Twitter fans don't want to talk about, but that's still there. Ole Miss still lost that series to UCF, who still hasn't gotten above 500 on the year since then.
I think Ole Miss has improved since that series, though.
Yeah.
They've shown like that they're a different team from then, but the week before that, they swept the college showdown in Arlington. So I don't know, up and down team, I guess.
Yeah, lacking a little bit in consistency, but still really good. They almost won the series against Arkansas. I don't know exactly where we would have put them, but they definitely would have been higher than 10. My gut is that they would have ended up around 3 had they won that series, but pretty crazy into it. Arkansas got an 11-0 lead in that one. Ole Miss tied it up late before Arkansas pulled back ahead at the end to clinch the series. But definitely a wild weekend in Oxford. So outside the top 10, are there any other teams that stand out to you? Let me run through. So we have a couple new teams in the top 25. Southern Miss pops back into the top 25 at number 21. And a few teams down here on the bottom row of our 5x5 quadrant are new. So Santa Barbara's back in at 22. Indiana State at 23, Old Dominion at 25. A lot of these teams were hovering right on the edge. And there were some losses towards the bottom of the top 25. So we added a few new teams. Who else stands out to you on this list, Kyle?
Georgia popping back in our top 50 after a home series win over Vanderbilt, I believe.
That was in Athens. Nashville.
Wow.
Yeah, they took down Kamar Rocker and the Commodores in Nashville. They blasted Kamar Rocker, like three home runs, like the first
14
inning.
14 runs, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I would say, the biggest upset of the year, like probably the most shocking result.
Single game, years. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, Georgia, like you said, they cracked our rankings at 32. They are 20-11 overall, 5-7 in the SEC, and that sounds like a regional team to me. That's like, it's amazing how one really good weekend in the SEC can flip the season narrative. Jonathan Cannon, Georgia starting pitcher, had a great start, got some SEC honors this week, and Georgia is trending in the right direction for sure, but it's still muddy waters in the SEC East. There's a lot of really good teams ahead of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, Kentucky is a team that we weren't as high on to start the year, but they've just continued to win, which may be a little bit surprising. I mean, did they win this weekend? One second.
I think they dropped 2 out of 3 to LSU, if my memory
yeah.
is right.
But yeah, LSU is a team that we expected to be
LSU,
good going.
That was LSU's first conference series win of the year.
Yeah. So maybe this is a sign that LSU's turning it around, but I don't know. We'll see.
So
Georgia and Kentucky are playing this weekend, so that'll be fun.
Definitely an opportunity for both of them to add some pretty crucial SEC conference victories to their resume. Let's see. Joining the top 50 for this week, I think we only have so we had Georgia re-entering Wichita State. We now have at number 36. So all they've done in their last 8 games is go 7-1 against Houston. Absolutely love that. They just get, like, there's no more, like, mysteries by the end of that. Once you play a team 8 games in a period of 8 or 9 days, right? Like, those teams know each other intimately. Wichita State got a 4-game sweep in Wichita this weekend. So they popped up at number 36. And then NC State snuck back into the rankings at 47 after sweeping Boston College, who dropped out of the rankings. Wheels are kind of falling off the Boston College hype train, unfortunately. They had that really fun series win at Auburn, and things haven't gone well for them since, to put it lightly.
They are 4-14 in conference play, 14-16 overall. They still have a pretty good offense, but I don't know, that pitching staff is pretty erratic.
Yeah.
They just got swept at home against NC State this week. They lost 2 out of 3 at Virginia Tech the week before, got swept against Clemson the week before that. So yeah, it has come to a grinding halt, that hype train.
10 games below 500 in conference and the 94 RPI is not going to get you into the tournament, unfortunately.
Probably not.
So let's recap last week's pick'em.
No, we don't have to do that. That's okay.
This is how I imagined the pick'em going when we started. Me just winning week after week, feeling really good about myself, and we finally hit that stride. So what does this bring the overall record to? Do you remember? Because I actually don't.
I want to say it's 3-3, maybe 4-3 in your favor.
I think we've picked 7 weeks. And my memory was telling me it was 3-3, and obviously those don't add up. So one of us, I'm pretty sure, has a lead in this. But regardless, I got the W this week. Nearly didn't. Ole Miss nearly stole that away. The crazy comeback. But so we already talked about Ole Miss, Arkansas. I picked Arkansas to win on the road, and let the record show that I had the second pick on that one. So you did not have faith in the Razorbacks.
I had more faith in Ole Miss than I did than I had no faith in Arkansas. How about that?
Any Ole Miss fan that we still have, if you're listening to the podcast, direct all of your hate towards John, towards me on Twitter, not towards Kyle, because Kyle picked you guys.
I had faith.
But maybe the faith was misplaced. So we already had gone through that one. Let's talk Big 12, TCU, Texas Tech. TCU wins game one in Lubbock, had two chances to clinch the series, which I think what Tech hasn't lost a home series in Lubbock.
It's been a while.
haven't done this year, didn't do it last year. I don't know if they lost one in 2018, but yeah, it's been a long time. But Texas Tech comes back, wins game two, and then run rules TCU on travel day in dominating fashion. So Texas Tech gets the series win, 2 out of 3 there. Is there, again, I didn't think that Jace Young, younger brother of the Rangers, actually was he promoted? Is older Young playing now in the majors?
I don't think so. There's not a minor league season, as far as I know, this year. So
I know he was in spring training. I haven't been following the Rangers because probably no one's following the Rangers right now because they're total rebuild. Nope. But I didn't think Jace was going to be the better young brother, but at this rate, he might be. His offense is just absolutely absurd, pretty solid defensively as well. Texas Tech gets another series win and improves to 5-4 in Big 12 play. So it was a big bounce back weekend for them after losing to Kansas State 2 out of 3.
With that series loss, though, TCU is only 7-2 in conference. So, I mean, they're still at 7-2 in conference. They have a good opportunity to still be first, second, or third in the Big 12.
Yeah, before we get to too much more Big 12 talk in terms of standings, I want to mention one more Big 12 performance, and let's get back to that. So Yvonne Melendez from Texas had maybe the best week a hitter's had in a very long time. So he had 6 home runs this week, put up a 556 average, a couple doubles, 16 RBI to go with that, and has already set the record for the most games with a home run in it for Texas, and with 6 straight games now with a home run. The NCAA record is 8. It's a lot to ask someone to hit another home run in 2 more games, but
yeah,
regardless of whether or not he breaks the NCAA record, I mean, that is a Texas offense that we were saying, you know, just a few weeks back, like, I don't know, question marks, but I mean, he's at least in decent part why Texas is now a top 5 team in our mind. The offense, I wouldn't say is a juggernaut, but it's the type of offense that when you have Ty Madden and the type of rotation that Texas has, like, that's an Omaha team, right? Like, it looks like an Omaha team right now.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, they scored 28 runs and just Friday and Saturday and held Kansas State to 7. So it's a football score. They pretty much just dominated.
Right? They totally beat up on Jordan Wicks too. So like one of the best pitching prospects in the draft. So Texas is looking like a new team after week one. And that's let's hop onto the Big 12 conversation train now, because there's 4 teams that seem like they could win the Big 12 that set themselves apart, and that's Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. And the order I just listed them in is the order that they are in conference right now. Texas at 10-2 overall, TCU at 7-2, Oklahoma State at 6-3, and Texas Tech at 5-4. So we're just around the mid-season point. Who are you taking amongst those 4 teams as the winner of the Big 12?
I don't know. I was just looking at the schedule, and like, I think TCU has the easiest schedule going forward out of all those. Like, Texas after this week, because they have non-conference week this week, because everyone has to at least once. And they have Abilene Christian at home this week. But then they go to Oklahoma State. They host Texas Tech. Then they go to Arlington or to Fort Worth to TCU, and then West Virginia at home to end the season. So like those 3 weeks in there are 2, 3, and 4 in conference standings right now. So it's a pretty rough stretch.
Yeah, and even though Texas Tech is at 5-4, they've already gotten through TCU and Oklahoma State.
Right.
So they're gonna get some wins later on in the season. yeah, without knowing like intimately the conference standings in my head, it felt like in my mind it was probably between Texas and Texas Tech. And now knowing that Texas has a 3.5 game lead on Texas Tech, I feel like I have to lean Texas with this, because the 2020 season got canceled, that would be a ninth place to first place finish from the last two seasons. So that would be a
big jump.
The biggest jump you can have in the Big 12.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Texas Tech has West Virginia, Baylor, Texas, OU, and Kansas left in conference play. So that's like a relatively easy schedule outside of Texas. I mean, it's, you can't get much better than that. So maybe they make up a lot of ground here. And when Texas has the tougher schedule coming up, but Texas does have some cushion in there with that 10-2 conference record.
And that series between them and Texas Tech is in Austin, so they don't
get
that home field advantage. Definitely circle the TCU Oklahoma State series coming up, because whoever wins that series is going to put themselves into some not pole position, like a second place position, maybe as the next likely team to overtake, especially if somehow a team gets a sweep in that series. Not that I would predict that. But let's go back to last week's pick'em, because there was a couple of good games too that we haven't talked about yet. So we haven't talked about Michigan. We haven't talked about Michigan much on the podcast. They took 2 out of 3 from Ohio State over the weekend. Fairly competitive series. Ohio State, we left them in the rankings right at number 50. And Michigan is the highest ranked Big Ten team at number 31. But they aren't in first place in the Big Ten right now. The team that is actually in first place in the Big Ten is Nebraska, who we have ranked 8 spots below them at number 39. And I think, so like the way I've been seeing this, and I think we're probably in some agreement here, is like I've been feeling a little bit more conservative about how I want to move Big Ten teams around in the rankings, because they're only playing each other. Like it's really hard to kind of have a really clear idea of how good these teams are compared to other teams in the country. So it's hard to exactly know what a 2-1 weekend in the Big Ten is worth versus a 2-1 weekend, let's say, in Conference USA, who is a pretty good conference this year. So I guess the question I have for you is, are we wrong? Is Nebraska better than Michigan? I mean, that's what the standings say right now. How is that going to play out over the next few weeks?
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun thing to watch over the next few weeks. Nebraska's only got a half game on them right now. Nebraska seems to have dominated the teams that they've played more. Like they're on a hot streak right now, sweeping a 4-game series against Minnesota, winning 2 out of 3 at Illinois, and then 2 out of 3 against Maryland. And they have kind of an easy stretch coming up until they get 2-game set versus Indiana. But we have to wait till the end of the season to see them against Michigan. It's the last week of the season. That's unfortunate. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's possible that Michigan is more talented, but Nebraska is a better sum of their parts team, you know.
That's true. I do like Will Bolt there. I think he's the type of the guy who's going to extract some more than the sum of the parts type of team, like you're saying. I think the biggest weakness that I see on Nebraska's schedule is that the teams that are good on their schedule. So I think it's not unfair to say that this year teams like Iowa and Ohio State are in the top tier of the Big Ten, and they have gone against Iowa 3-2, solid, not amazing. And then they've played Ohio State twice and gone 1-1. So against the top competition in the Big Ten, they haven't done particularly well. So the fact that they have 9 games left against combined Ohio State, Michigan, and Indiana, that's the season right there for them. I mean, they got to take care of business against Penn State, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Northwestern. But those nine games, if they go 5-4, 6-3, we could have a Nebraska conference champion, which would, I think maybe, like, we like to talk about them as a little bit of a dark horse coming into the year, but I mean, they were dark horse for a reason, not the favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Michigan's got kind of the same story, really. I mean, they went 1-1 at Maryland. Maryland is a team that is, that we know is kind of talented, with Maxwell Costas and a few other good pieces in there. But yeah, and then they went 3-1 against Iowa. So that was a pretty good series win to start the year. And then this series, this weekend against Ohio State, obviously. But the what will make their season is the last three series against Indiana and then Maryland and then at Nebraska. So that'll be fun series to watch. If I had to pick right now, though, let's see. Well, I think, what do you think?
I think I lean Michigan until proven otherwise. I wouldn't be, at this point in the season, though, I wouldn't say that Nebraska is a dark horse. I would say that Nebraska and Michigan, Indiana are all in the running there. Like, I don't see Nebraska as a much of a question mark.
Yeah, and I would probably lean Nebraska right now, just because their schedule coming up is, and not necessarily because they would just destroy everyone else, but yeah, I think Nebraska has shown that they're on a good streak right now, and streaks are what baseball is all about.
Speaking of a team that is streaking, let's go to Notre Dame versus Georgia Tech. Two teams streaking in the opposite direction. Notre Dame, like, just can't lose. Like, I don't know. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I've been waiting for Notre Dame to lose. Like, I picked against them this weekend against Georgia Tech, and they had a pretty ridiculous comeback in order to win game one and come back in that series and end up winning that series. But I am no longer a doubter. They are have split now. I got 1-1 against Louisville. They just went 2-1 over the weekend against Georgia Tech. They started their season off entirely on the road. They have amassed a 15-6 record overall, which that's against almost exclusively ACC teams. They've had one midweek non-conference game, but they've yet to drop a series on the year. And they beat Georgia Tech again this weekend. Georgia Tech is now down to 15-12 with an RPI of 52. And, like, just, it bears repeating, RPI is not a good metric, but it matters. And an RPI of 52 with a 12-9 conference record is, like, probably good enough to get you in the ACC, but you don't want to be in that position come the end of the year. They had a 5-game losing streak to combine Virginia, South Carolina, Upstate, and Notre Dame before they salvaged a series against Notre Dame with a win. Georgia Tech trending the wrong direction. Do you want to talk ACC? Because when I look at the ACC standings, I don't know what to think of them.
Shrug emoji. I have no idea.
Yeah. Let's look at Atlantic. Notre Dame's in first place, 14-6 in the ACC.
Louisville in first place, but by winning percentage.
Yeah, that's true. It's like one of those oddities of, because Louisville has played fewer series, they have one less loss and two fewer wins, so they do have a higher winning percentage.
The website I'm looking at has Notre Dame in second place, but negative half games back.
Yeah.
So I think that means Notre Dame's in first.
Yeah, so regardless, in the Atlantic, Notre Dame, Louisville, front two. After that, a couple of 500-ish teams, Florida State 11-10, Clemson 9-9, North Carolina State 8-10, Wake and Boston College of 7.5 and 9 games out of first place. So they kind of started to play their way out of it. In the Coastal, Virginia Tech, as everyone predicted, in first place at 14-7. Pitt in second place at 12-9 in conference. Georgia Tech at 12-9 as well. And then Miami, North Carolina, 10-10. Virginia, 8-13. Duke, 6-11. I mean, who's going to win the Atlantic? Is Notre Dame really going to win the Atlantic? Like, or is Louisville going to prove their mettle down the stretch and squeak by.
If I were to bet on that, that's what I would bet on. But man, I wish we could have been able to finish that Louisville Notre Dame series. That would have been so much fun to watch. And so much more, like, we'd find so much more just about both of these teams. It's weird that one game will do that, but I think that's the case.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think I'm at the point where I just won't bet against Louisville. Like, they moved to the ACC and have just won it just repeatedly. Yeah. So, like, I think, like, I love the upstart Notre Dame, but if I'm going to place money on a team, I'm going to place money on a team that is consistently a College World Series team led by Dan McDonald and that just wins the ACC. But, I mean, man, Notre Dame is making moves under head coach Link Jarrett. But I think... I think even more difficult, though, is the Coastal. The Coastal is just a total head-scratcher right now, where if you look at the top four teams, probably the most talented are Georgia Tech and Miami. But Miami just hasn't been able to consistently put things together. They just got swept over the weekend. And which, fun fact, so they got swept by Pitt, who went 6-0 against Florida State and Miami combined.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Have them play Florida too. See if they can sweep them there too.
Like, yeah, Pitt is gonna get those like state champs of Florida t-shirts.
That'd be great.
They also Jacksonville. Which, yep. Jacksonville's one of the Florida ones, right? Like, I always get those confused.
Fairly confident.
Yeah. So
not 100% sure about that, but yes. The Pitt at Louisville series in a couple weeks will be fun.
Yeah, so I think maybe the better question is teams that aren't in the top, like one or two in their division right now, like who else out there is a team that you see as a team trending in the right direction that maybe won't make a play to win the division but might win the ACC tournament round robin championship come the end of the year, or might be a super regional type team? Because like when I look at that list, like, you know what, I'm gonna take back the even darker horse right now, because I was the one that was all in on Virginia at the beginning of the year, and I know they're still at 8-13 in ACC, and that's pretty bad, but they have won back-to-back series, and that includes winning a series against Georgia Tech and then winning at Georgia Tech and then at Clemson, and they host Louisville this weekend. If they win that series at Louisville and they're like 10-14, they have Duke, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Boston College left on the schedule. I could see this team squeaking into a regional and being a tough team. Is there any other ACC team that you think fits that sort of bill?
Well, you kind of took mine. That looked pretty fun. I don't know. Pitt has a pretty easy schedule coming up too. I mean, they get pretty much any team that has Boston College and Wake on their schedule coming, like, left for the season. They have a pretty good chance. I know Pitt's like second in their division right now, but so it's not necessarily dark horse. But
yeah, I thought you were going to pick NC State. I feel like you've always had like a thing for NC State this year, and they've been doing all right. So I was trying to be nice to you and letting you have NC State there.
Yeah, I was getting there. They have at Notre Dame this weekend. So if we're not picking against Notre Dame, then it's going to be hard. But then they have like the division leader Virginia Tech the next week, and then Pitt the week after that, and then Florida State to finish the year. So like, that's not an easy schedule, and they turned it around after their pretty horrid start. So yeah, that would be like the trendy upstart pick, I guess, if we're betting stocks here.
All right, well, sounds good. Let's take a quick break right now, and then when we get back from the break, we're going to talk a little more SEC, and we're going to talk Pac-12 baseball, Stanford, UCLA, and then week 9 pick 'em. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the College Baseball Nation podcast. I'm here with Kyle McKelvey still, and we're talking Pac-12 baseball now. Stanford took 2 out of 3 games at home against UCLA. UCLA has now lost half of their weekend series on the year after being the number 2 team in the country in the preseason, which now makes our preseason 1-2, Florida and UCLA, barely hanging around in the top 50. Florida's obviously doing a little bit better in the top 25, but UCLA has dropped week after week. Meanwhile, Stanford is up to number 19 in the country, getting it done with the long ball, which every time I talk about Stanford and the long ball, it's great. I love it because last year in 15 or 17 games, they hit two home runs all year. They were one of the least powerful teams in the country. So they have turned a page in Palo Alto and had themselves a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, that is wild. They're 16th in the country in slugging percentage, second in their own conference. With a 481.
Totally new team.
Is pitching doing all right? I don't even know. How's the pitching doing overall?
Brandon Beck on Friday night is a lockdown type of a Friday night starter. And then they have, I would say, consistent starts throughout the rest of their weekend rotation. But then their bullpen is probably one of the best in the Pac-12 right now. They have, what's his name, Zach Gretsch, who didn't give up a run in his first 10 or 15 innings. I think finally gave up a couple, but is probably one of the best closers in the country.
ERA is just over 4.5, 102nd in the country out of 285 ranked. So it's not great ERA that Stanford comes to expect, but it'll get the job done when you have, when your offense is doing what it's doing.
Yeah, they have five guys batting over 300, four guys with OPS over 1,000. They have Brock Jones, the freshman, who's hit, sophomore, who's hit, well, I think he might be a second year, he might be a COVID freshman, sophomore. The two-way or the two-sport athlete, also on the Stanford football team, hit 10 home runs on the year. The definitely getting it done with the bat, but the level of consistency, I think, has been something that I've been most impressed by. A team that really couldn't put together more than a couple of wins in a row last year has yet to drop a series this year. And has a decent test coming up next weekend in Phoenix at Arizona State. I feel like in a normal year, you would probably say, like, well, can Stanford pitching handle the way the ball flies in the desert? But, you know, with how they've been playing, I think Stanford's probably going to go score 15 runs a game at Arizona State.
That'd be a great sight to see. The must watch if you like home runs.
Yeah, and then so they then wrap up their season. They have Washington, USC, Arizona, Cal, Oregon State. So they still have, you know, the meat of their Pac-12 schedule to go. But I think we alluded to it last weekend, but we didn't really go and make any sort of definitive statements. So I'm going to throw it out there now. Who's winning the Pac-12? Is Stanford the favorite? Is Oregon, Arizona? I think those three teams are kind of have set themselves apart as the top tier. Obviously, Oregon State was looking all right until they just got swept by Oregon, UCLA. I wouldn't totally count them out, but you feel like you have to at some point. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm just looking at future schedule going forward, I kind of like Arizona's schedule for terms of, like, ease of schedule. They have on the road against Washington State, so if you want to go to a series there, if your series lines up that way, that kind of works out for you. And then you have Southern Cal the next week, and then Utah, and then at Stanford's the tough one, but then you got Washington State at Oregon State to finish the year. So that's as far as the Pac-12 goes, they kind of avoid having, like, all of the meat of their schedule towards the end, so they could get on a really hot run to the end of the season. And then same with Oregon, really. They got USC this next week, and then UCLA, a team that's kind of struggling. And then they go to Washington State, and then Washington at home, and then Utah, and then Stanford for that one. So that's going to be a really fun series to end the year, and then Cal to end the season. So I think Oregon might be might be my team, based on schedule.
So right now, Oregon and Stanford have played one fewer series each than Arizona and Oregon State. Stanford and Oregon are both at 6-3. Arizona, Oregon State, and Arizona State are at 7-5. But I think if I had to pick, I'm leaning Oregon. They've backed up their win at Corvallis 2 out of 3 by sweeping Oregon State 3 games. And they did lose a series on the road at Arizona, but that's already behind them. They've also already won a series against Arizona State. So I think that my pick right now is the Ducks, which would be, again, another head coach who hasn't been there for very long, really turning around a program.
Yeah, it's really impressive. That'll be a fun, scary rivalry over the next few years with Oregon and Oregon State.
All right, let's talk like American for a little bit, because I don't think we need to pick a winner in the American, because it goes without saying that East Carolina is our favorite with 8-0, number 3 team in the country. But Wichita State, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, is now 7-1 in the American.
Against one team.
Against one team. Against only Houston, which means vice versa, Houston is 1-7, which feels bad. Can Wichita State reasonably catch pass East Carolina and win the American?
It's possible. I mean, they did what they needed to the last few weeks. We said what would be the worst for the whole conference is if it would be like 5-3 either way, or 4-4. And so one team definitively won, and that's good. So I think, yeah, it's entirely possible. I think they play everyone in the American because it's one of the smaller baseball conferences. So can't avoid East Carolina. So that series is going to be fun. But
yeah, and I think so. There's a couple series before they play East Carolina. First, they're going on the road at Tulane, which Tulane hasn't been quite as good as we thought maybe coming into the season, but they just won 3 out of 4 games against Memphis, and it's not going to be an easy weekend for Wichita State to go down to New Orleans and beat Tulane. So they got to do that. But they do get East Carolina, they being Wichita State, 4 games at home. So they have that in their favor. I'm not picking against East Carolina, but
no, I wouldn't either. But Wichita State, if they keep, I mean, they can't keep this up, obviously, but if they keep winning series, they could potentially be the second team in the American that makes the tournament. They're at 44 in the RPI right now, the 7-1 conference record, obviously, 19-9 overall. They have just 2 games lost against Oklahoma State, kind of hurting them those at home, but that's a good RPI booster, maybe. I don't really know the RPI formula that well. Yeah, they don't have a whole lot boosting their RPI. If they can win the series against East Carolina, that should help a lot. But I don't know.
All right. I think sounds like we're putting money on East Carolina, but Wichita State, you know what? Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Likewise, let's wrap this conference discussion up with the SEC. I think we agree that Arkansas and Vanderbilt are our favorites to win the West and the East. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
But with that said, there are 2 teams in the East within a game of Vanderbilt and 2 teams in the West within a game of Arkansas. So the races are not done. Vanderbilt and Tennessee are actually tied atop SEC East standings at 9-3, and they play each other this weekend. And then South Carolina is just 1 game behind, 8-4. Meanwhile, in the West, Mississippi State and Ole Miss are both at 8-4, 1 game behind Arkansas at 9-3. And Arkansas has played Mississippi State and Ole Miss already, and Mississippi State and Ole Miss are playing this weekend. So I think it's safe to say by the end of the weekend, we're going to have a much better idea of who is going to be the front runner and maybe that second place runner in the East and the West.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, for the East, Tennessee has got a pretty nice schedule coming up. I mean, after the Vanderbilt series, obviously, this weekend, if they can steal a game, maybe two at home on Rocky Top, we're talking possible top 8 seed for Tennessee, because then they have on the road against A&M, Kentucky at home, at Missouri. So those three teams are, I don't know, Kentucky and Missouri were at the bottom of the SEC coming into the year. And then they have Arkansas and South Carolina to end the year, but they have a nice quote break. If you ever get a break in the SEC, just don't want to get caught looking ahead to Arkansas.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think when I look at teams that will compete, I think Tennessee and Vanderbilt are going to kind of answer some questions for us this weekend. So I'm not going to think too much about that. Besides that, I think Vanderbilt's a better team between those two right now, and that Tennessee hasn't quite been tested enough. In the West, Arkansas swept Mississippi State on the road. And that felt like it could have been the end of the SEC West race for Mississippi State. But all Mississippi State has done since then is win 7 games in a row, including back-to-back SEC sweeps. So I think that's a team that you don't want to count out in this race. I think them hosting Ole Miss at home this weekend, if they win that series, they're going to have a chance to win the West.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a nice schedule also. I mean, they get Missouri and Vanderbilt to end the year. That's kind of nice. We do like Mississippi State pitching. They have a really, really solid pitching team. And then, I don't know, I think that the next 2 weekends are going to be like the season for Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and then at Vandy. Those are really tough series. I would probably, if you're Mississippi State, you got to maybe go 3-3 in that series. Like, you can lose one of them. Obviously, you're not, the season's not done if you lose both series, but you can lose one of them and then like win the other by losing just one game. And I think that's still, you're still pretty close in that race. Obviously, you just can't have Arkansas sweep every time.
All right. Now we're talking about predicting the future, predicting series. So I think let's segue into next week's pick'em, because there are a lot of good series this weekend, especially in that will help determine some of these conference races. So let's get to it. I'm on a hot streak and I'm picking first, if I remember correctly. So I think I want to start off with some of these SEC matchups, because they're too good not to talk about, too good to ignore. And I want to do Ole Miss Mississippi State first.
Man, so it's home against, it's home from Mississippi State in Stark Vegas. Ugh, I picked 4 Ole Miss the last 2 weekends and they've let me down both times. So I think I got to go Mississippi State 2 out of 3.
Yeah, that's
I'm scorned.
Pretty reasonable pick. So if I can't pick Mississippi State to win 2 out of 3, I would be shocked if Ole Miss got swept. So I have to pick Ole Miss to win 2 out of 3 then.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'd be interested to see the last time Ole Miss lost 3 SEC series in a row. It might have been 2019, but I don't think it's something that's happened to them consistently in recent years. So let's do it. Let's pick Ole Miss to bounce back and win this one.
All right. Next series for me to pick. Let's go Vandy, Tennessee. It's in Knoxville. You can pick that one.
This one's pretty easy for me. I think Vanderbilt wins 2 out of 3. Like, I think Vanderbilt losing last weekend was an anomaly. And yeah, maybe it was more of a revealing of a weakness in the Commodores. But I think the reality is that if Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter pitch well, they can't be beat right now. And Kamar Rocker didn't pitch well against Georgia and got beat. I don't think he's going to have that in him 2 weekends in a row. And even if he does, they'll have at least a shot at game 3, because I don't think anyone's beating Jack Leiter. So I'm picking Vandy 2 out of 3.
I don't know what to do here. I mean, I don't know if Tennessee – I don't know if Vandy is good enough with their Sunday starter to sweep Tennessee on the road. And they just lost to Georgia. Kumar Rocker got destroyed on Friday night, like we mentioned already. But then Georgia came back and destroyed their Sunday starter 9-1. They won 9-1 also. Yeah, give me Tennessee 2 out of 3, because since I can't take Vanderbilt 2 out of 3, that's what I would want, but I don't think I can see a sweep for Vandy.
Yeah, Thomas Schultz, who started a lot of the Sunday games for Vanderbilt, his ERA is at 5.55 right now.
But the staff ERA is pretty low, thanks to Rocker and Leiter.
2.74 got up in front of me.
It's pretty solid.
All right, so I think that's enough SEC series. Let's go Big East. We haven't picked a Big East series all year, and there's actually probably one of the best Big East series, if not the best one of the year, happening this weekend when UConn goes down to Creighton and plays in Omaha. So, Kyle, who you got, UConn or Creighton?
Okay, 4-game series. Hopefully that one of those doesn't get canceled to mess things up. 4-game series. I'm going to say UConn 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I think that was the move. Yeah,
got to play defense on these picks.
Yeah, Creighton, I think, is – I don't know. We picked a Creighton series. I forgot we did this there. We picked the Sac State Creighton series, and then that got canceled.
Yeah.
And I think I picked Sac State to sweep, if I remember correctly.
I think you did.
I'm going to say that I don't think – 4-game sweeps are so hard to do. Like, I don't know. Like, even if, let's say, you have, like, what, a 90% chance of winning each game, the odds that you win all 4 of them is only.
You love 3-4 game sweeps. Like, you love talking about how hard it is. It's like
your hard thing. To win a baseball game, right? Like,
yeah.
When you're, like, twice as good as another team, you don't win. Like, being a lot better than a team doesn't necessarily translate to wins in baseball, because there's randomness and there's. One play can change the game. One starter having a bad outing can totally change the game, like we saw with Kamar Rocker in Georgia. So I can maybe say that I won't pick 4-game sweeps very often. I'm going to go 2-2. This one's a split.
Yeah, that's fair. 4-game sweeps are hard to do, especially on the road. I don't know. Creighton is – they got swept in 4 games, so – they seem to like playing 4-game series this year, but.
But yeah. They had to go up against the juggernaut that is Kansas, so.
That is a good point. All right, my turn. Let's go with Oklahoma State at TCU, Cowboys at the Horned Frogs. What you got in this one?
This one, I think, is a fascinating matchup. I think at this point, they both gone on the road and lost at Lubbock. They have that in common.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, they've Oklahoma State lost a series to Vanderbilt. I don't think it's fair to say Oklahoma State is like in need of a big series win. Like it's not like I think we know who this team is, at least somewhat, that this is a regional team that has a decent shot at hosting. So I'm feeling pretty good about this Oklahoma State team, but. Man, a win at TCU would be a nice bow on the resume. With that said.
You're going against that, aren't you?
I think I'm going to go against that. I think that TCU has only gotten better as the season gotten along. I think for some teams, that trend line is a little bit wigglier. And even though they lost that series in Lubbock, they were in it. Obviously, they won game one. I think that the trend line is still in the right direction for TCU, and they win 2 out of 3.
I'm also with you there. I think I got to do – I feel more confident about a TCU home sweep than I do a Oklahoma State series – road series win. Oklahoma State still is a solid team. I think – I don't know. Just the pitching staff of TCU is just lights out, and it's – all the way up and down the staff too. They're very solid and consistent. So yeah, give me TCU sweeping. I don't feel confident about it, but we'll see.
All right, that leaves us with just one series left to pick this week. And I think we saved a really good one for last, because I'm going to go here with Southern Miss, Louisiana Tech. These teams have actually already played each other in four games in Hattiesburg, where Louisiana Tech got the better of them, the better of Southern Miss. And that, I think, was a reasonable part of what led to us thinking this Louisiana Tech team is legit. Louisiana Tech has also knocked off Ole Miss and knocked off Arkansas in a game and has done some other good things. But that road four-game series win at Southern Miss is, like, that's an impressive thing to do. So
yeah.
Now,
is it home for Southern Miss? Oh, I was looking the other way around. Yeah, you're right.
So yeah, now it is the other way around, though. Louisiana Tech welcomes in Southern Miss. Southern Miss has a chance to play Road Warriors in this one. So four-game series, who do you have in it?
It's nice that we get the two of the best teams in the Conference USA playing eight games this year. Like, I don't know. I think it worked out for, like, one team gets two series against the other, or against one other team in Conference USA, and we saw that in American also. So it's nice that we get two of the best teams going up against each other eight times.
It's not kind of like Major League Baseball. Like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, like eight games against a team. Like, that's a lot of games against one team. When you do four games home and home, by the end of that, you feel like you know who the better team is.
Yeah, that's true. What did you say? Oh, no, you picked that series, so I get to pick first.
Yep, you get first dibs.
Give me La Tech 3 out of 4. I think I feel more confident in that than I do a split. It's in Ruston, I believe, is the city.
You are correct. I mean, dang, this is really tough. I just did a whole like diatribe about four game sweeps, so I feel like I can't do that. But then when I think like 2-2, like no way, Louisiana Tech's definitely winning this series. But I think I'm gonna go.
You can predict 2 out of 3, and then a fourth game canceled from win. So
the win hasn't been on the side of cancellation lately. Weather's been too nice. I'm going 2-2. I'm picking two splits this week. I feel terrible doing that, but it's not my fault with these four-game series.
Yeah, it's not very fun. You should have gone for the sweep.
I mean, I'll take 3-1 if you want to change your answer to sweep.
No, that's okay. I'll take mine. Guaranteed victory. I know I said that last week, but this time for real.
Yeah, maybe. I remember you got real cocky at some point in this, and you've been on this big losing streak, so I'm not saying that they're connected.
How do we deal with the point if, well, I guess you don't get the point if Creighton wins the series or if Southern Miss wins the series, because you picked the split. Like, it has to be just a split for you.
That seems fair, yeah. In retrospect, I feel upset about that, but that seems fair.
Yeah. But, like, if La Tech sweeps or if UConn sweeps, then I still get the point.
While we're on the topic of predicting sports events, I think it's worth mentioning that after my NCAA March Madness bracket did horribly in the first round, I came back and got third place in our pool, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
It's true. I'm pretty impressed. I did better in the first round and then horribly the rest because I picked Michigan to win it all. I don't know. I didn't watch any college basketball this year. And I was like, Gonzaga can't be that good, can they? And then Baylor can't be that good, can they? And so I was just like, March Madness is made for upsets. I gotta go for the upset.
Oh, but 2021 March was made for the Big Ten to lose.
I guess so.
All right. And other important news, Macaulay Culkin had a child. So the kid from Home Alone now has a kid. So if you didn't feel old before, that made me feel real old.
I still don't feel old. It's fine.
Well, Kyle, that's all that we have for this week's episode of the College Baseball Nation podcast. Thanks for participating again in this podcast, because it's really become a big confidence boost for me now beating you week after week in the pick 'em.
You're only up 1 week on me. It's fine.
Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, go rate, review, subscribe, do all those things that you can do on podcast apps to our podcast to help us get out the word. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at CollegeBallNat. We're on Instagram and Twitter. Drop a question for us and we might answer it on the podcast. For instance, we talked about why Ole Miss was ranked number 10, and that was posed to us by a whole lot of people on social media. Go to collegebaseball.info for all of our college baseball coverage, and we'll see you next week. Until then, have a great week.